Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hi there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. Today, I'm speaking with a new friend of mine and a colleague, Asha Ramakrishna, about her book, The Priestess Code. I love this book. It was really, really inspiring and went right into my heart and soul when I read it. Asha is one of those women who seems to effortlessly embody the divine feminine in everything that she does. She really has this amazing story about how she received like this divine inspiration about these very specific steps that she calls the Priestess Code, and then spent many years trying to live the code before she really deeply understood its power. And now she helps use that code to help other women awaken to their priestess self. And the code, the Priestess Code, sort of helps you honor your emotions, flow with the seasons of your life, and create a life that's really full of happiness, abundance, and pleasure. So welcome, Asha.
Thank you. That was a nice intro. And I don't effortlessly embody the feminine. It's been a journey. And that's why this book has come to be.
Well, that's awesome. Can you share a little bit of that journey and how this book did come?
So, you know, before I received these principles, and that's, I'll share how that happened because it was very unexpected. I was living what I would call a very masculine life. You know, I'm the oldest of five. I immigrated to the U.S. when I was 18 from Venezuela by myself. And I just sort of was like, I'm in charge of my life. I'm going to make things happen. And I was very goal-oriented, very linear, really, in how I thought success needed to look like. And then I became a mom. And some of that shattered. But even still then, you know, I started feeling like, okay, things aren't feeling... This isn't how life is supposed to be. My life is completely out of balance. It's not how it's supposed to be. And as cliche as it may sound, you know, I did decide to leave the corporate world, and it was a miracle in itself that unfolded for me. And I was in this space, really, of trying to figure out where am I going? And I was blessed with 6 months of severance. So, you know, I had space, which is a very lucky thing. And one day, right before picking up the kids, I was taking a shower and I heard, hold these principles to be truth and to live by. And I was like, what? I just like looked up at the ceiling as if like something was like speaking down to me. And you know, I had never, I mean, you're an intuitive. You probably have these experiences all the time. I do not. And so this was really different for me. And of course, I knew this was important, right? I mean, it was so directive. And I just like grabbed a towel, water dripping everywhere. And I just like ran to my notebook and again, looked up at the ceiling and wrote what I heard. And, you know, there were seven of them. And I remember looking at these principles, these codes, what I see them now as codes. And I thought, these are really nice, but I don't live this way. And so it was like this feeling in my heart, like, oh, crap, I got to work on this. This is for me. As much as I, you know, I had been somebody who was passionate about being of service to others, I really knew that this was an intimate thing and something for me. And, you know, it's been... 9 years since I've been with these principles, and they've really deepened and definitely transformed me. So
wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, I you are right. Like, I do kind of get those kind of directives all the time. Like, you know, my guidance is pretty directive. I always say my guides are bossy, and they're always telling me what to do. But you know, and you in your day job, do you work as a scientist, right?
So I was a scientist, and at the time I was doing sales and business development, and I still do some work more on a consulting basis in that industry. So my brain is still in that space, but I also, I really do guide people in the spiritual and business and merging the two to start creating, whether it's life partnerships or businesses that align with who they are.
And what are the codes? Like, can you share them with us, or a couple of them?
Yeah, I think, you know, the one that I think is one of the most powerful ones, and it took me like 2 years to start understanding what it really was, is you are a seasonal being, accept it. Again, I was coming in with this perspective of you climb up corporate ladders, you achieve. And this whole seasonality of things is a little foreign to me, that there would be value in stillness, that there would be value in having seasons that are more, you know, I call yin, like a little bit more internal. We live in a world that sees action as something that is revered, and inaction as something that is like, you know, like, what's wrong with you if you're not moving, right? And to see the value in those seasons, and that they really, you know, they really provide an opportunity for us to heal and to go deeper in something. And then you leap from that, right? When you get to go internal.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a struggle that many people have, many women have, and men too, I'm sure. But that sort of masculine edge that we work in corporate, or that's sort of revered, like you said, you know, to do, to achieve, to make money, you know, to go. And the truth is, we have that sort of, you know, 50-50 masculine feminine blend, and going with the seasons, what it means to me when I read it in your book was, you know, the yin side, so the feminine side, kind of has its own like downtime, you know, or receptive time that we have to honor, and that we often don't. We kind of push through that, right?
Yeah, and that there's magic in that. It's like the one very practical way that I can describe it, and like that has been very true in my life, is that if I'm in action, you know, thinking about how am I going to grow, how am I going to market, or meeting people or networking, that's a certain energy, and it's beautiful and it's valuable. And when I have days where I just dedicate the day to whether it's gardening or painting, something comes from that. Like something, not just internal, like something, well, first, of course, something internal comes from that of like seeing wisdom or experiencing wisdom in that thing that may seem so passive, I guess. And then what you start seeing when you kind of relax a little bit more is that, you know, miracles or opportunities or blessings even have a gateway to come into. Because we, you know, I think of it as like, okay, I know that many of us are here to accomplish certain things. And I think that, again, I value that too. And also, I know that sometimes we can push too hard. And when we're pushing too hard, we're not really creating space for that creation to present itself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally get it. And, you know, I think I struggle, many women who are really living our life purpose do struggle with that. Like, you know, for me, like, it often takes like I have to get sick or have something kind of stop me. And so I've been learning to, you know, honor the flow of the seasons before they get sort of forced on me, right?
Yeah. And in the book, do you remember I was talking about how we really can predict a little bit more than we thought we can? Like I always say, you know, most of us can look in November, December, right before New Year's Eve and say, okay, that was a really crappy year, or like, that was a great year. But having the information ahead of time is helpful. And it helps us to not hit burnout. I'm a year where we're supposed to be internal, but we're trying to be external, and everything just like seems to set us back. And, you know, I have the tool in the book that's the 9-star key of how you can calculate your primary number and then also know what year am I in at any given time. And I found it to be really helpful in every aspect.
That's numerology? Is that numerology that you're talking about?
It's 9-star key. So it's sort of, it springs from the I Ching. And it's a tool that I've been using for now almost 12 years. Mm. And I mean, it's really, really helpful for me. I mean, I even my family knows, because I will say to them, okay, I'm going into a 3-tree year. I'm going to be saying yes to everything. Is everybody good? Like, can we do this? Or, you know, on the flip side, if it's a healing year for me, a more, you know, let's just call it a karmic year where old stuff comes up to be healed in a deeper way, I do say to my husband, listen, I'm not going to be as active in terms of growing, you know, growing my business, or like, that's not really going to be my focus. And even though, you know, you want to think as a smart entrepreneur or as a smart householder, part of what that means is that those are the years where I need extra support in the work that I do, because I know the energy is just not going to be as available to me. And so I soften to that.
I think that's so cool. And also that you could know in advance, like what kind of year you're going to have. I think I figured out that I'm a 9. I don't really know what that means, but.
So you're kind of a 9 is like, it's 9 represents fire. And it's, you know, you're kind of probably the kind of person that you walk into a space and everybody notices you. It doesn't even, you don't even have to wear red. It's just people notice you. And so then you are going through, do you remember what year you're going through?
I don't remember.
I think you're going through a 4-tree year. So this is your year of wealth. it's your year of wealth and also of discerning what last year, if there were a ton of opportunities, this is the year for you to discern, okay, what do I really want to give my energy to? Because that thing is the thing that's going to grow.
That's so cool.
Just an example.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so helpful. Wow. And you have, like, right in your book, you have the whole formula to figure that out. So people that read your book can figure out what their number is, and then also look at the grid and see what year they're in now, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's all laid out, because I've been using this for a long time, and I'm like, okay, this needs to go in here, because it's part of what understanding what our seasons are.
So one of the codes that I really resonated with was the code of sisterhood. Can you talk about that one a little bit?
That's one of the hardest ones for me. You know, when these principles came out, connect to a sisterhood, it will strengthen you. I didn't know how that could be possible. You know, I had, maybe this is normal, maybe it's not, but I had really lived through things of, you know, some not so great friendships and some betrayals. And I didn't experience that. You know, I see people who grow up with the same group of people and they seem to have this like really strong friendship and support. And that wasn't the case for me, or at least I didn't feel that way. And the more that I started exploring what sisterhood truly meant, so, you know, it's not just like about, you know, Sex in the City kind of friends where you have that person that, you know, is there for you and you have a good time with that person. But this sisterhood that the Priestess Code speaks of is that, as the Buddhists call a Sangha, it's the community of people who are eclectic and who maybe don't always believe the same thing you do, but who are there vested in your spiritual growth. And what I have found, and I think we're all in synthesis of, and I think we're all learning, is that this principle came in, and I know, again, you know, there was aspects of it that I needed to heal, but it also came in because it came in as a reminder for us to understand and have compassion for the process that we're going through as a collective, meaning that even though I think many of us really want to have this idyllic kind of sisterhood, and there's somewhere in us that we know that this is possible, we've experienced it in little ways, and then we've not experienced it in other ways, what this principle is here to do is to remind us that there is a little bit of a formula, I guess, to deepen and to bring consciousness to sisterhood. And I guess what I will say about that formula, if you want to call it that, that process, is to take 100% ownership for our stuff, to be able to have safe space to call somebody else on what they have done, and to have enough consciousness that the conversation stays between the two, and the uncovering of what is needing to heal, not just for the two people, for the individuals, but also for the collective, has that space. And I really believe that we're in a time where we get to exercise and practice this, and it is a practice. So what do you think about that?
Well, I might have had better luck in this area than you have. So I have pretty solid sisterhood around me, and kind of always have throughout my life. But I do think that it is something that's vital, and it's either done really well or done really badly. And I see so many people, like women, kind of competing, tearing each other down, getting all jealous, sort of, you know, catfighting on social media. Like, I see a lot of that. And it makes me really sad, because I think we are stronger as a collective, as women. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of already behind the eight ball a little bit in a lot of ways in the world. And if we're scattered and divided, we lose our power. And when we unite, we kind of uplift each other, up-level each other, you know, believe in each other, support each other, we can really have incredible power and strength individually and also collectively. And I loved that you have a way to do that, because clearing issues between friends or between people doing conscious communication is not easy. And probably there needs to be something like what you said, like a formula for how to work through things when they come up.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I call it presence too, is that when we take ownership of our own presence, our own vibration, then we don't have to enter into any relationship with knee-jerk reactions, whether it's words or actions or whatever. We own our stuff. And if the other person is also able to do that, then that is a more evolved kind of relationship. And, you know, another thing I wanted to add to that was that I came into this principle with having a bit maybe of a victim, or not having, like you said, like a great experience in this. And when I started exploring this principle, and it really was inviting me to say, okay, you have sisterhood. Where is it? And so the first was like, okay, my husband, like he's kind of that. Like he may not be a woman, but he's kind of that person that is my soft place to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, then I began to notice other people, other beautiful women who were presenting themselves in my life. Maybe not what I thought, you know, quote, sisterhood would look like, because they weren't spiritual. they didn't like the same things I do, but boy, were they supporting me. And were they, you know, taking care of me when my ankle would get, I had an accident with my ankle, and I relied on women to help and support me because my kids were little. And so then, you know, it's this whole kind of law of attraction where when you start paying attention to what you do have, then that thing gets to grow in the way that you see it.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. It's beautiful. That's a great story. So what's it like to be holding the priestess energy as a modern woman? It's not really like what we read when we read Mists of Avalon, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely more of a modern priestess. You know, it's funny, I love and adore like women who really embody that Mists of Avalon kind of priestess. Like, it's yummy to me to watch. But it, as I look around my house, I'm like, yeah, I'm not that priestessy in some ways. In some ways I am, but it's just more that I really want to bring this into modern times. You know, can I be a priestess and be a primary breadwinner? Can I be a priestess and run a corporation? Can I be a priestess and be a healer? It's all these, I think we all get to have our own version of what this means. And part of why, you know, I wanted to write it in this very kind of modern way and practical way was because I didn't want to box any of us in.
I wanted to let
people be.
Yeah, and every woman has a unique expression of the divine feminine, right? So we're all doing it in a really different way.
Yeah, and that's what I, you know, and yet it's like, okay, is there space in my life for me to burn some sage? Yeah, totally. Is there space in my life for me to honor the full moon? Absolutely. And in these little ways, you know, I get to connect to that ancient part of me. But it no law, you know, at this time in my life, it doesn't rule all of who I am, because again, I am a modern woman.
Yeah. You still want to wear designer clothes and get your hair done and, you know, shop at Chico's, like, you know, I don't know.
whatever the thing is. And I am, and I will say that the piece that I connect to the most, like to the earth, well, I definitely connect a lot to the earth, and my life is very simple. As busy or whatever as it may be, you know, when you have a career and you are a parent, there is a level of simplicity that I really appreciate, and it lets me see the magic. Like, I live in the middle of the woods, and I love it. And I'm barefoot most of the time, except when it's really cold. And I love that. And that's the way that I embody those ancient parts of who I am.
It's beautiful. And if people wanted to find you, your book, I know you've got a master class coming up that's teaching the material. Can you share how to find you?
Yes. So for that master class, it's a free master class, and the book is available. It is available on Amazon. So if you look up the priestess code, it'll come right up. You can get Kindle or the soft, or the, you know, real book. And then the master class is going to be a 2-hour diving deep into two of the principles. And to access that for free, my website is ashaisnow.com, and then it's /masterclass all together. So ashaisnow.com/masterclass.
That's great. And do you work with people privately too?
Yes. So during the time that I was writing the book, I was, you know, it was like, no, I need to just do this. And now I've sort of opened things back up again. I will work with a select few people. And then I'm going to be having a retreat in January in Mexico, which I'm really excited about. And that 2018 is going to be the time when I'm probably going to be incorporating more of these aspects of the priestess code in teaching people in a deeper way. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Asha. I really, really love to talk to you and explore, you know, the priestess code. You really encourage people to get your book, because I found it really beautiful and moving. And I read a lot of books for my radio show, and this one really touched me at a very personal and deep level. So I really so appreciate that you wrote it.
Thank you for that. That does mean a lot, especially because you've been in this field for a long time. So I appreciate that. I appreciate mostly what you said at the beginning, that it went in your heart. That's what I appreciate about it, because that you can't unlearn that, right?
Yep. And thank you so much, honey. We're out of time. We got to go. If you want to find me, please reach me at my website, lisacampion.com. And thank you so much for joining Asha and myself today on The Miracle of Healing here on Empower Radio, where we are healing the planet one person at a time.